Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. But first, here is his message, Your Legacy.
Take your Bibles and turn to Acts, the 20th chapter. When you think of legacy, no doubt you think about a financial inheritance that you may give. And that can be a noble thing. It's a good thing if you're able to provide for your family. In fact, in Proverbs 13, verse 22, it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But it's a good thing and a wise thing to be able to give a financial inheritance to your children. Material possessions are good, but we all know, of course, that material blessings or financial goods do not last, and they certainly don't bring happiness. So it's critical that we give so much more than things, stuff, material possessions to our families, to our children, to our friends, to a younger generation around us. So your legacy is your living and lasting influence for Christ. As a believer and follower of Jesus, your portfolio includes faith and hope and love and virtues and values, character and commitment that changes lives around you. That's the kind of legacy that we're going to be talking about today. Someone said, life is a celebration of wonderful opportunities. You never leave it till the last person you know is gone. That is, you never leave life until the last person who knows you is gone. And for the follower of Jesus, it gets better than that, because there are people who will follow us into heaven who are influenced by our testimonies today, people that we have never known, perhaps people that we have never met. That's why Revelation 14 tells us that our works follow us to heaven. You don't die when you die. Your influence lives on. That is your legacy. So how do you live one? And how do you give one? How do you live for the things that you're willing to die for as well as live for? Well, Paul tells us here in Acts chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading in verse 17. Again, this is Paul's farewell. It is his goodbye to his spiritual family at Ephesus. And his words echo through the centuries to us. It says, now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church, that's the leaders of the church, to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you. Notice that phrase, how I lived among you. His life mattered. From the first day, the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God, note that, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, compelled, driven by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But then here's his motto and his maxim for life that is my prayer in my own life these days. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He goes on to say, you will see my face no more. He commended them to the grace of God and the keeping of God's Spirit. What a man. The Apostle Paul, he shows us how to lead. He shows us how to leave a legacy. How? Number one, You want to live and leave a legacy for your children, for your children's children, for your friends, your family. Number one, live humbly. He says in verse 19 that you know the manner of my life, that I served with humility. Humility. How do we show humility? By serving with humility. Paul often referred to himself in his letters as the bondslave, the slave of Jesus Christ. Early Christians often designated themselves as slaves of the Lord Jesus. In many of our translations, that word that is translated slave gets softened a bit for our generation and our tenderness to the issue of slavery, but translates it servants. But it's really a word which means slave, describing what happens to us when we become the followers of Jesus. Because to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Paul says, with repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ, to put your faith in Christ, but also then to follow him as your master and commander. That Jesus purchased us with his own blood. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that we have been purchased, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because we are bought, we now belong to him. We are owned. We are owned by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would say, I bear on my body the mark of a slave. The mark of a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under the authority, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, which means that we serve the Lord in all humility, that we honor him in all of our ways, because to call upon Jesus, to follow Jesus, means that I give him my rights, I give him my life, I give him my all. And my purpose then becomes to do the will and the work of the master. That's why we're here as bond slaves of Christ. And why do we do this? Because we love our master. We love Jesus, the one to whom we belong. And so humility demands that I deny self and follow Christ and serve Christ by sharing him and serving him with others with humility. Now, this is counterintuitive and counterculture to the times in which we live. In this, it's all about me, self-indulgent culture in which we live. Humility is not even on people's chain. But the Christian is to live with all humility and selflessness to serve others. The fact is, it's not how many servants you have that matters, it's how many people you serve that matters. We were born living for ourselves. That's sin and selfishness. But we are no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are set free. We have been redeemed from the marketplace of sin and bought and paid for in full by the grace of God. This is why we gratefully serve him and live for him. This is why the Apostle Paul said, you know that from the first day I set foot on this ground, personally and publicly, in the public place, in your homes, I live with humility. I live with a servant's heart. Paul was so transformed by Jesus. This proud, arrogant Pharisee, now humbled and broken and burdened by the love of Christ.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Your Legacy. June 30th is PowerPoint's financial year end, and we need your help. A generous friend has offered to match every gift given to PowerPoint this month. So any gift you give to PowerPoint will be doubled, allowing us to keep the hope of Jesus Christ coming your way and going out to millions more all over the world. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, your legacy.
Which brings me to the second thing about living your legacy, which is to live compassionately. Live with love. For he says in verse 19, he said, I served with humility and with tears. Perhaps you think of the Apostle Paul as a hard-charging, hard-driving, get-it-done, the kind of man who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, he's certain, he's courageous, he's confident. And Paul, you know, he just was fearless in the face of opposition. And it takes a tough, hard-driven individual to live like this. But don't get the idea that the Apostle Paul was somehow hard or harsh, rather with tears and tenderness and brokenness, and with great burden, he shared Christ and served others. In fact, on one occasion in Romans chapter 10, he tells us, as he's praying, he said, I have a heart's desire. I have a burden on my heart. You want to see the heart of Paul? Listen to this. He said, I have a burden on my heart that my kinsmen, according to the flesh, talking about his Jewish family and friends, that my Jewish brothers would be saved. He went on to say, I would be willing to be accursed, which means I would be willing to die and go to hell if my Jewish family and friends would come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's the heart, the burden, the passion and compassion of this great man. And so, yes, he served with tears. Jesus was a man of tears, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He wept at the tomb of his good friend Lazarus, even though he knew he would raise him from the dead, and yet his heart broke in sorrow for those around who were grieving. He shares our sorrows, our burdens. He carries our griefs. When Jesus came to Jerusalem that final time before the cross, he stood on a ledge there on the Mount of Olives. I've stood there with groups many times. And there he said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have drawn you to myself like a hen would gather its brood, but you would not. And the Bible says Jesus wept. He convulsed, his great heart breaking, his chest heaving, and his tears pouring out. So Paul's tears were like our Lord's tears. And in my view, it's time for more tears among God's people. Our nation is in trouble. Our churches need revival. The prophets tell us to cry out to God. Some of you have loved ones and friends, children, parents, neighbors, who don't know Jesus. You say, how can I reach them? Try tears. Ask God to give you a burden. And if it's been a while since you poured out some tears, since you cried for the sake of some soul on its way to judgment and hell, if it's been a while, ask God to give you tears again. Ask God to break your heart for the things that break his heart. That's the Apostle Paul. That's how to make an impact. That's how to influence people. Because people, as it's been said many times, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And often we're pretty good at anger, getting upset, about some of the sin that's around us, and rightfully so. There's a righteous indignation that we should have as Jesus had towards sin. But the fact is, we're really good at anger, but we're not too good at anguish these days. Let our mentality be one of anguish for those around us who don't know Christ. This is why we keep going with the gospel, whether it's through our church or through its ministries, through PowerPoint, because people all around us are breaking, their hearts are breaking. Friends all around you are burdened, and you can make a difference in their lives. There's someone that you know who needs to know Jesus. Verses 37 and 38, just scan down the passage with me, and Paul speaks to them regarding some other things that we're going to talk about, but at the end, verse 36, he says, "And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all." And notice what verse 37 says, "And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship." So the church gathers around the apostle. They hit their knees, and they're crying profusely. When it says there was much sorrow, there were many tears, it means they were just wailing, basically, on behalf of their brother Paul, their pastor, who's going away, who's saying goodbye. Did you know why God allowed those tears to come into your life? When you didn't understand why you were hurting and why your heart was breaking and why you had to say goodbye to the dearest and best in your life, and you didn't know why there were so many tears, you just couldn't stop crying. You know why God gave you those tears? As a testimony. A testimony of the God of all comfort, 1 Corinthians. Paul said, the God of all comforts, who comforts us, and with the comfort that we have been given, we comfort others. So don't waste your sorrows. Don't throw away your tears. God gives you tears as a test and as a testimony to share the love and the hope that is in Christ with others. Isn't that good? That's how you make a difference. And then when you leave, if you live like that, when you say goodbye and you take the last ship home, people will weep for you. People will cry because you made such a difference in their lives. What are you leaving? What are you leaving behind? Is it just a void? Will people forget about you just a few days, a few weeks after you're gone? Will your children, your grandchildren know of the influence of your life because you so live for Christ that your influence lasts in their lives? How to live a legacy is to live humbly, serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to live lovingly, compassionately, and thirdly, to live boldly. Now, I love what the Apostle Paul said to these Christian leaders. These are the elders, the leaders of the church, and other members of the church, no doubt, were there. But he reminded them of a few things before he left. He reminded them that while he was there, he declared the entire message of the gospel publicly, house to house. He did not stand back or shirk his responsibility to tell the truth. He said, to the degree that I am innocent of the blood of all men. He's referring to what the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel talked about, describing watchmen on the walls, whose responsibility was to guard the city, to guard the walls, and to shout it out if enemies were on their way, lest if they failed in that responsibility, the blood of the city, the people, would be on their hands. That's what Paul is talking about. He's saying, I didn't shun to declare the whole gospel of God to the degree that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. He gave us the gospel and said it is repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I pause there and ask you to underline it. That's the message. What else is there but to amplify that and to magnify Jesus who gave his life for us, but to live boldly with the gospel, declaring the whole counsel of God. I tell you, if you want to live a legacy for your family and for your friends, build your life and teach them God's word. Make sure that your kids and the people under your influence hear from you what God says in his word. Don't be afraid, and don't be ashamed to tell people about Jesus, lest their blood be on your hands. Some of us have neighbors, we have family members, we have co-workers, we have fellow students, that if they were to die today and go to hell, their blood would be on your hands. Let's live boldly, ferociously, on message, on point with the gospel of Christ. And then finally, let's live generously. That's what Paul said down in verses 33 to 35. He said, you know, I worked hard, I served and worked, and I lived generously among you, for as the Lord Jesus said, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's the missing beatitude of our Lord that shows up not from the book of Matthew, where the Beatitudes are listed, but given to us by Paul in the book of Acts. This is a beatitude of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed are the givers. You know, we've heard it many times, right? There are two kinds of people in life. They're the givers and the takers. And it's been my observation that the takers eat better, but the givers sleep better. Because when you learn to give, that's when you're happy, you're blessed, you're content. If your children, your grandchildren know you as a miser, they probably know you as being miserable, unhappy. But when you come to terms, as Paul did, he said, you know, what I did in serving there and working there, I worked with my hands, I didn't do it for gain. He said, because giving breaks the back of greed and covetousness. We all are tempted with the desire to acquire more and more and more. And the way we defeat this temptation in our lives, this test, because money is a test, possessions is a test, but it also should be a testimony to use what we have to advance the gospel. Because it's better to give than to receive. Happy are the givers. And so when we say goodbye to this world and our friends, we will not only have invested in their lives and the things that matter left here on earth, but we'll send it on ahead by laying up treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Giving saves us from selfishness. So what are we to give? We're to give help. We're to give hope. We're to give life. We're to give love. We're to give what we have, including our possessions, so that when we leave, when somebody stands up to preach your memorial service and mine, they'll talk not about how much you had, but how much you gave, how much you loved, how much you served. And people will weep because of the difference you made in their lives. It's your legacy. Don't lose it. Live it.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Your Legacy. PowerPoint is coming up on the end of our financial year, and we've got some exciting news to share with you today. Some friends have stepped forward with a $180,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give this month to help PowerPoint finish this financial year strong. With more people than ever searching for what only Jesus can provide, your gift today is nothing short of vital to help ensure PowerPoint remains a beacon of hope in the year ahead. And we'll say thanks for your gift today by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God, for you or someone you know. So call now to have your financial year-end gift doubled and request your copy of A Man of God as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. 4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
We're thinking a lot bigger than a financial legacy. That's important. That's a good thing to do what you can going forward for your children. But what's far more important is our spiritual legacy. It is our faith legacy. What I want to do is invest my life in the things that matter, the things that are going to last. And if I will concentrate, and if you will concentrate on living the life of faith, in other words, living your legacy, then you will leave a legacy. Just as the Apostle Paul, as we talked about earlier, was committed to finishing the course with joy and then leaving behind people who would serve Christ and take the message to the next generation, we as Christians today can commit to follow Christ. We can share our faith. We can build into the lives of other people. We can live this legacy and leave this legacy for generations to come until Jesus comes. It's like a long relay race, and we are passing the baton to those who are coming after us. I hope you will consider not only your influence with your children and your grandchildren, but the bigger body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, investing in those things which matter. God bless you, and be sure to live your legacy this day. If you're looking for biblical resources to encourage you, guide you, and help you grow in your faith, then please visit jackgraham.org. My entire sermon library is there completely free because I want you to be able to find the help you need at any time. Just visit jackgraham.org and go to the Sermon Library tab to listen to any message I've ever given for no cost at all. My prayer is that you'll be led to exactly what God has prepared for you right when you need it.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful book, A Man of God, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. On the next PowerPoint, Dr. Graham brings a message about how you can make every day count for Christ. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.